It's Wednesday, January 7th, and here's some of the news beyond the headlines. At least one Turkish police officer was killed in a suicide attack in central Istanbul on Tuesday. The governor says a woman dressed in a niqab detonated explosives at a police station in the tourist district of Sultanahmet. She had reportedly walked into the building and claimed to have lost her wallet. It's the second attack on Turkish police in a week. On Thursday, authorities arrested a man who threw grenades at police near the prime minister's office. Police in Bangladesh are cracking down on opposition figures as violent anti-government protests grip the capital. On Sunday, police banned demonstrations in Dhaka and confined the leader of the main opposition party, Khalida Zia, to her office. Zia's Bangladesh Nationalist Party and its allies had called for mass protests to mark the one-year anniversary of the disputed re-election of the country's ruling party, the Awami League. On Monday, four protesters were killed in clashes with security forces and government loyalists. And on Tuesday, police detained Zia's deputy, Fakhrul Islam Alamgir. An Israeli military court has sentenced a Hamas member to life in prison for the abduction and murder of three Israeli teenagers last summer. 40-year-old Hossam Qawasma was also ordered to pay $63,000 to the victims' families. Two other men implicated in the crimes had escaped arrest but were shot dead by Israeli forces in September. The killings were the catalyst for the 50-day conflict between Israel and Hamas militants in the Gaza Strip, which left more than 2,000 people dead. The Peruvian government is worried extreme weather could cause catastrophic damage to the famous Incan site, Machu Picchu. In 2010, heavy rains triggered mudslides that washed away parts of the only railroad that connects the citadel with the nearby city of Cusco. Experts are warning that landslides and forest fires spurred by flooding and drought conditions would be devastating to the infrastructure of the mountaintop ruins. Indigenous communities say they're already dealing with the consequences of climate change and are struggling to maintain traditional practices such as subsistence farming. Check out the Vice News YouTube channel for more original reporting and documentaries from around the world.
Álmese, defiéndase su vida. Porque también tenemos el derecho a tener vida. Que no le dejen todas las responsabilidades a la policía, que la policía realmente no puede.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. escapeharassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
I have a testimony about how wonderful heart drops are. I ended up at Mayo Clinic, just had an awful time with angina and related problems to my heart problem. I remembered that I'd run out of heart drops and had reordered. And when I started taking them again, all these problems went away. And I just want to say how great these heart drops are. I'd recommend them to anyone.
Like, I had my last heart attack in August, and I was having some form of angina pain pretty well every day. And then since I started taking it, I haven't had any angina pain at all. You know, I'm satisfied.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
MedicateUSA.org introduces three brand new detox formulations of micro plant powder. Brain Fuel for depression, bipolar disorders, and stress. Total Care, anti-cancer agent that cleans the liver and organs and increases memory. Rejuvenate, invigorates and heals the body, mind, and spirit. These products are your alternative to pharmaceuticals. Call 888-910-4367 and like us on Facebook. We ship worldwide. Only at MedicateUSA.org.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Times, you can never be too prepared, mentally, physically, financially, agriculturally. Real people, real problems, real activism. Welcome to the Bob Tuscan Radio Show with your host, Bob Tuscan.
Terry Nelson joins us on tonight's show. Terry Nelson's law enforcement career spanned three decades and includes service in the U.S. Border Patrol, the U.S. Customs Service, and the Department of Homeland Security, taking him beyond the U.S. borders into Mexico, Central America, and South America. In various capacities, he acquired first-hand knowledge of the war on drugs through his direct involvement with counter-narcotics missions. He labored with distinction, even receiving special congressional recognition for his work. But, he says, as the war on drugs went on, I never saw any visible progress, and only limited discussion about the lack of progress. Something was wrong with the picture. Terry came to understand drug prohibition was doing more harm than good, and that the United States needed a major policy change. He joined the group Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, and he joins us tonight to tell us his story. Terry, how are you? Terry, welcome to the show.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I sure can.
Okay,
so
yeah.
Tell me a little bit about your experience and witnessing the harm that the war on drugs does to our society, and how you got through the paradigm of seeing it as something other than a benevolent task that needed to be done by law enforcement.
Well, with my work south of the American borders, you see the very beginning of the, of course, this was the cocaine drug wars, a little bit different than the cannabis one, but still Mexico was a major producer of cannabis in the United States for until the last about 3 years ago. It started losing some market share, but when you work in those environments and you see the huge amount, like Mexico grows almost 40 million pounds of pot a year, cocaine from South America runs about 2 million pounds a year, of which we only catch at best estimates about 15-16%. So you can readily see that you're not going to rest your way out of the drug war, that you need to use a different strategy. And then you look at other countries that have done something a little differently, like Portugal and their decriminalization, and they have half the drug use we do, and hardly any HIV and AIDS transmission through drugs, dirty needles and stuff. You start to think there's got to be a better way than what we're doing, and we need to get our heads out of the sand and just figure out a way to work and to work together and to reach a solution to this, I call it a public policy failure. We need to come up with a different public policy on how to deal with our drug issues.
So prohibition, as far as alcohol was concerned, didn't work, did it?
Well, prohibition has never worked in history. jokingly say sometimes, but the first prohibition was in Genesis, and there was Adam and Eve and one policeman. His name was God, and he couldn't keep he couldn't enforce a prohibition law even then. So prohibition simply does not work, and you need to come up with a more humane solution to our drug problems. And we at LEAP believe it's through education and treatment instead of arrest and incarceration.
Right. That makes perfect sense. And this black market that's created only perpetuates crime, doesn't it?
Well, of course. You know, and it's easy to create a black market or a gray market. It's a lot harder to end one once it starts. We're going to run into the same problem if we overregulate cannabis sales. As we're overregulating and overtaxing cigarette sales, we're seeing a gray market and even a black market come into place with them. If you'll recall, the gentleman that was killed up in Brooklyn was killed over selling, trying to be arrested for selling one single cigarette because the prices of them, they tax them so high that people still want to smoke them, so they're going to get them. And this will create other crime, like people will rip off, container loads or truck loads of cigarettes, break them down into individual packages or glassine envelopes and sell them because the taxes are so high on them. You know, there's a way to fix these problems, and that we've reduced our cigarette smoke in the United States by about 50% in the last 15 years. We didn't put anybody in jail over it. And but what we're doing now by overtaxation, and we're doing some to some extent the same way with the new cannabis laws, if you put 30% tax on something that normally sells tax on something is 7-8%, well, you're going to force a certain amount of underground and gray or black market activities in it. So it's up to the government to set the right policy and then to coordinate it correctly and just try to reduce the abuse, now not the use so much, but the abuse, the serious abuse of drugs through education and treatment instead of trying to arrest the way out of the problem.
Why is it the job of government? You know, I personally feel like government should stick their heads out of any of our business, including this.
Well, it's because it doesn't work quite that way. You know, it would be nice if everyone played nice, but that they don't. So you have to have regulation and control. If not, the same thing would happen. One guy would set up a shop, and he would undercut everybody else, run everybody out of business, and start driving his prices up. And if you tried to come back in against him, he'd send his strong arm man over to stop you from doing it. So regulation and control is a necessary evil, but it needs to be, you know, it needs to be rational, intelligent regulation and control, not done for trying to impose someone else's morality on you.
Yeah, I don't know that I agree with that, but we may have to agree to disagree on that point. I think, however, there is a very interesting story here as far as the war on drugs is concerned, and you've been dealing with cannabis legalization of late. There was a big campaign in Florida that, of course, famous attorney Mr. Morgan was behind, and several others in the state, including the gubernatorial candidate Charlie Crist. Tell me a little bit about the idea of medical marijuana or legalized marijuana versus decriminalized marijuana and these distinctions that need to be made and which one you advocate, because a lot of people felt that the medical marijuana bill that was on the table in this past election in Florida ultimately had more control and was not the way to handle the abolition of prohibition.
Well, you know, that's subject to argument, but it's better than what we have now, and you can always fine tweak something once you get started. Medical cannabis and regular cannabis sales, first I have to say, at least we don't condone the use of any drugs, because we've seen some of the badder, darker sides of what can happen when people lose control. But we do, you know, advocate for free choice, and you have a right to do what you do as long as you cause no harm to anyone else. But the medical cannabis, I think, it's almost a given now that it has vast medical uses, and it needs to be studied more, and we need to have true clinical test run on to see just what the benefits of it are and how varied they can be. As far as recreational use, that's a whole different ballgame. That's what someone chooses to do, and instead of going to a bar and having three or four drinks and then driving home, they go home and smoke in their backyard or watching TV or something, which is a lot safer than you know, drinking alcohol in a bar and then driving home, of course. But it's these are drugs are basically Medallion drugs. Cannabis is, or the more dangerous stuff, of course, is the heroin and the meth and the other things that can actually cause serious harm to you. And those need to be definitely regulated, controlled, and taken out of the hands of the drug gangs and the criminal cartels, because they have no interest in selling you a clean, clear product that's free of mold or free of pesticides, or they just want to sell you the product. And that's another argument for regulation and control. You can have these crops grown in a very clinical environment to where they're safe and they don't have mold in them or insecticides placed on them that you're sucking into your
lungs. Well, I get that nobody wants mold or insecticide, but I think consumers will dictate the way in which it's sold. We'll take a break and we'll come back with Terry Nelson from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology, all while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com. Or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821. Or visit PureEffectFilters.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
Seems the louder we're singing, the less they're hearing. Babylon got them so mindless they can't see Armageddon is nearing. I try to shake them to wake them, but they say they'd rather be sleeping. So don't be surprised if my eyes can't disguise that inside them my spirit is weeping.
One of the things that I hear from people when I tell them that I am against drug prohibition of any sort is, well, Bob, does that mean you want heroin or crack or meth or any of these extreme drugs to be legal? And my response is always the same, and I wanted to ask Terry, who joins us, Terry Nelson, a member of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, a former U.S. Border Patrol, U.S. Customs Service agent, Department of Homeland Security, and just a guy who has a ton of background in law enforcement. I wanted to get your answer to that age-old question. Terry, what are you, some sort of meth crack addict or advocate, rather?
No, I'm just for legalization of drugs that need to be controlled and taken out of the hands of criminal drug gangs, where they gain their power and violence that they use to enforce their rules. You know, you look into Mexico, where the cartels basically run the country. We don't want that in America, that's for sure. And what's going to happen if Mexico collapses and the drug cartels take over? So you need to take away their funding, and the best way to take away their funding is to take away the illegal profits. Let them compete in a marketplace, a free and regulated marketplace like everybody else, and we'll put them out of business because we're much better farmers and up here than they are down there in that respect. But meth and cocaine and heroin are all readily available today on the streets. We've seen a 50% resurgence in heroin use in the United States, and almost a doubling of the deaths from overdose of heroin. And heroin is not a regulated and controlled dose of heroin. It's not what's killing people. It's an unregulated control, so they don't know whether they're shooting 6% or 60%, because there's no way to know what that white powder is until you shoot it in your arm and see what the results are. So, no, you've got to take it out of the hands of the drug cartels. And you don't want to do meth. We don't want to do meth in the first place. But you certainly don't want to do meth with someone cooked up in their basement. And the guy cooking it has been breathing the fumes for so long that the lights are on and nobody's home. You want that stuff done in a clinical environment where it's safe and pure and it won't kill you. If you're going to make the bad choice to use one of these drugs, then it at least should be a safe drug, and you should know the dosage of what you're taking. And, of course, I always get the argument, well, the current cannabis is not your grandfather's cannabis, which is certainly a true statement. It's much stronger today, but guess what? So you don't have to smoke as much, so it's better for your lungs. And use that argument. You don't have to smoke two joints to get a high. You can do it in a half a joint nowadays because it is a lot stronger. But the stuff that's coming out of Colorado and I assume it'll come out of Washington, what I've seen of it, just visually seen in the grow houses and stuff in Colorado, it's very clean and very sterile, and it's well regulated, and you know what you're getting. You know pretty much the THC of what you're going to be getting, so you know how much you need to consume to get high. You can make an educated choice on how much to use, and that's what regulation control brings you. I'm for legalization of all drugs because I want to take the criminal drug gangs and cartels out of it, and I want to bring it under an umbrella to where the drugs are clean. And if you choose to use them, then you can not kill yourself.
Right. I mean, I think cannabis was clean long before the state got involved, in a
sense.
I will
disagree, because in the early days, in the 60s, cannabis come out of Mexico was often sprayed with paraquat, and they went ahead and marketed it and sent it on the United States and sold it. And we had several issues with people having serious lung issues from smoking this paraquat-induced cannabis. Now, grant you, we were the ones providing the spray to them to spray on the crops, but still, it's not regulating control. They're going to sell it. They care about profit. They don't care about your health.
Yeah, but I think the consumers eventually were able to rid of this sort of nasty grass. I digress. I want to ask you about the government's involvement in the war on drugs. And what I mean by that is not to arrest people and throw them in prison, although that's a major part of it. But we have several examples in the recent history of the war on drugs, of certain people in certain compartmentalized aspects of the military and government actually smuggling these drugs and allowing for certain things to happen. I think the most obvious example of this is the Iran-Contra scandal, when we have guys like Oliver North and others involved in bringing drugs into the United States. And then most recently, of course, we have Eric Holder, who was behind Operation Fast and Furious, and that's not directly connected to the war on drugs, but it has many connections and many pieces that have overarching consequences. Your thoughts on that discussion?
Well, of course, I've heard a lot about it, and I was in Vietnam when they were doing the Cambodian stuff with bringing the heroin in, stuffed inside the soldiers' bodies that we were returning from being killed in Vietnam. And allegedly, Air America was one of the organizations that was used to fly and transport heroin around to play for the war in Cambodia and Laos, which wasn't part of our budget. Basically, that's the same thing happened in Nicaragua. They were selling, as I understand it, the drugs were being basically traded for guns so that they could continue to fight the war in Nicaragua that wasn't sanctioned by Congress. So, you know, it's a black market thing. I don't know if it's ever been proven, but there's certainly a lot of smoke there, and when there's smoke, there's generally fire. But it benefits a lot of people in the United States for the war on drugs to continue. The government agency this year alone, I think, asked for $25.2 billion to run the drug war. The prison industry makes billions. Of course, I can go on and on. The treatment industry mandated treatment for smoking marijuana to go get cured of your addiction to marijuana because you smoke is ridiculous. And it's about 37% of all drug treatment is mandated by the courts. The testing industry is a $5 billion industry in America. So pharmaceutical companies don't want to compete. Everybody's making money. It's all about the money. And it's not about, you know, Americans spending their lives in jail for a crime that caused no harm to anyone but themselves. And I'm just violently opposed to ruining someone's life and to essentially try to protect them when still you're just doing it to make a profit. That's not what our law enforcement should be about. We're supposed to serve and protect, not to line the coffers of private industry.
Yeah, that's so true. How many police officers do you think are aware of the dangers in regards to the war on drugs and prohibition? Do you think this is starting to be a little bit more well-known, that this is a broken policy amongst people who are currently still working in law enforcement and those who have retired?
Well, any of them that I've ever had a chance to just sit down and talk to about it and explain it, you know, in the way we explain it, probably 80-85% agree with me, which is about what the general public is. You know, they're not, cops aren't stupid, but they, at the same time, if they're told, like in Texas, under 4 ounces can be just, you can be issued a citation for it. Now, I don't know if you know how much 4 ounces of weed is, but that's a lot of weed. That lasts you a long time. And you could just be issued a citation, but the cops aren't doing it. They're still taking you to jail for small amounts. I mean, I'm 10th of a gram. They'll take you to jail for it in Texas because, in my opinion, it's for that 3 hours of overtime they make the next day when they take you to court.
Yeah, and they have all sorts of pressure.
Money off,
I mean,
overtime,
they,
as they do off,
many
the regular
might
salary.
Argue that there's quotas involved and all sorts of, you know, peer pressure in regards to that. That's a discussion in and of itself that we should have here, Terry. We have to take another quick break in a moment, but when I come back, I want to continue to ask you a little bit about the order followers and their view on things, and also talk to you a little bit about what you witnessed in your history in law enforcement, because I'm sure you witnessed a fair amount of corruption and a fair amount of wrongdoings in the name of the war on drugs. We'll also touch on the prison industrial complex and how that fits into the picture, and whether or not putting somebody in prison for drugs helps them get better from their ailments, from their sickness, which is addiction, and if it really does, at the end of the day, just lead to more recidivism. We'll be right back. It's the Bob Tuska Show.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
To their names can be added those of hundreds and thousands of others who stood in the way of the new order.
Right now.
Isn't what we're building for.
That's 800-313-9443 if you want to get on the phone and talk with Terry Nelson, who's our guest tonight from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. Now, Terry, tell me, does putting somebody in a prison cell, does that help to get them better if they have an addiction or if they're wanting to make some money selling drugs?
Of course not. It ruins their life. Doesn't help them at all. Because you give them a prison, a monkey called a felony sentence on their back, and they can never get a decent job the rest of their life. So they're going to be minimum wages as they can make. They're not going to pay their fair share of the taxes. They're going to be a drain on society, and they're probably 63% of them are going to go back to prison. So absolutely no, it doesn't work. And then you introduce them to real crooks and criminals in a gang, and they have a natural, when they get out, then they go back to their buddies, and they get work for them when they can't find legitimate work, and they become crooks. So no, it does more harm, far more harm than good.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. So let me ask you another question, though. about your history. So what exactly did you experience as far as drug arrest is concerned? I mean, tell me a little bit about what you actually did when you were in law enforcement for so many years.
Oh, my goodness. Well, just to encapsulate, the last 5 years, my team got about almost 250,000 pounds of cocaine out of the Central and South American corridors. My personal largest bust, just the case that I worked myself, was 1,300 pounds of coke. Tens of thousands of pounds of marijuana. I worked in the Florida Keys back during the 80s when the stuff was just running over us down there. They're just, you cannot imagine how much drugs was actually coming in. I think my first year in Florida Keys in 83, I got 117,000 pounds of pot.
Holy smokes.
You know, and that's
no
just my
intended.
First year, my rookie year down there. So it's got better after that. There's just so much of it out there. It's crazy to even pretend that we're doing any good. And you mentioned a little earlier the corruption. I resigned. I just walked in and gave them my gun and badge in the Florida Keys because it was so corrupt. I didn't want any part of it. I hadn't been there 6 months when I was called into I was at a party and I was called back into a back room and said, well, what's it going to be? I mean, six guys sitting there in one empty chair, and I sat down and they, what's it going to be? And I look around this room and I go, well, new sheriff in town, guys, I'm not for hire, and you try to bribe me, I'll bust your ass. It's not going to happen. But, you know, I don't take it personal. I'll drink a beer with you tomorrow if you get out on bail. But, no, it corrupts everything because the police know the frustration. There's so much money involved. In Florida, a district director and one of the station supervisors was involved. Half the police force was involved. The corruption is just, it's endemic. It's everywhere. Along our border now, there's something 250, 300 cases of corruption open against our Department of Homeland Security agents because they've had 40 years to infiltrate our agencies with their sleeper agents that come in, keep their nose clean. They send them to school, go to college, come out, get a job, and then they get a phone call and says, all right, start helping us. So, no, it corrupts everything it touches. Drugs corrupt everything they touch in an illegal marketplace.
Tell me a little bit about the efforts on the border. We have these checkpoints that are 50 miles inland. Your thoughts on these checkpoints. Are they illegal? Are they unconstitutional?
Well, those checkpoints started out as immigration checkpoints, and they have to be within 100 miles of the border, and they must be more than 25 physical miles away from the border, because when you cross the border with a border crossing card, or it used to be called a 186, I don't know what they are now, you can go 25 miles from the border on that border crossing card, but you can't go more than 25. So the checkpoints were there to keep the people on day passes from going further in and to basically control the amount of people that got in. Now, when they started, when they went over to DHS in 2003 and they started giving some of the Border Patrol agents Title 21 Act, which is the Drug Arrest Act, then they started, you know, looking for drugs. And the checkpoints themselves are illegal, but... And the caveat is you still must have probable cause to search. I mean, you can't just illegally search someone. You talk to them, you establish, you know, cause to do a further search. But a lot of the officers don't seem to know that, and they get themselves in trouble all the time. And once again, if they weren't looking for drugs, it would be a much simpler job out there, and the public wouldn't be hassled nearly as much. Because everybody thinks that that's a big deal to make a drug arrest, when it really isn't.
Sure, that makes sense. How about these
they're constitutionally legal, but the amount of search is still covered by the Fourth Amendment of the United States Constitution.
Yeah, I don't know. How about
they
claim
fudge all the
are
time. We all
probable
know that.
Cause? But what do you think about the dogs? Are they good enough
to
justify
to
a probable cause
happen.
To search someone?
Say again?
The dogs, are they probable cause to say that these dogs,
the
when we know
car,
that
yes,
they can
that's,
be triggered at any
still,
time, and we know
cause,
that
yeah.
these dogs all the time have false alerts and so on and so forth?
Well, yeah, about 60% of the time, but that's never been, we know it from studies that universities have done, but it's never been introduced in court to where it becomes law or it's something that can happen. Sooner or later, they'll get a good case and someone will take it, and they'll stop a lot of it. But, for example, if you're hauling a load of weed and you drive up in a car, I don't need a dog to smell it. I mean, it's pretty rank, and you can smell it quite easily. And, of course, I've done it thousands of times. Now, not concealed in, you know, inside the body of the car, inside a tire or something like that. But you've got, you know, 100 pounds of weed in the bed of a pickup truck, I'm going to be able to smell it, you know, because it's pretty pungent. But, dogs, bomb dogs, all the dogs, they're not 100%. And of course, the bad part is the handlers can make the dog alert. And then they get a free search of your car, and they search and search and search until they find something, because now they've got to find something to charge you with because they've gone so far. Or they tow your vehicle in and do a 100% search on it, take it apart and stuff. And when they don't find anything, they don't even say they're sorry, because the court held that they did it under probable cause and they have the right to do it. I don't think that's true, but I would never take it to that limit. I'd rather let a guilty person go. I'd rather let 10 guilty people go than detain one innocent person.
Yes, that's how our system was originally set up, but how it's changed, that's for sure. I want to play a press conference that you gave where you commented on the international impact of the war on drugs. I want to play a clip here and then have you expand on this. Here's Terry Nelson, who's our guest tonight, with a law enforcement against prohibition press conference.
Central America and South America have seen tens of thousands of people die in this drug war. If those people were dying on the streets of the United States of America, it would not be acceptable. Why is it acceptable south of our borders? The drug war corrupts everything it touches. Public officials, police, administrations, to court systems. I worked in Colombia when they started Plan Colombia. $5.2 billion spent eradicating the cocoa plants in Colombia. At the end of that eradication program, the vice president of Colombia reported cocaine production was up 27%. So I asked, what were we spraying on that, herbicides or fertilizer? Afghanistan produces twice the amount of heroin that the world market calls for. The Taliban are hoarding opium to make the price go up, and the United Nations forces are trying to destroy the fields and the factories to reduce the supply, which will drive the price up, and the Taliban can sell their drugs and they can use that money to kill coalition forces. From my experience, legalizing drugs will reduce the crime and violence associated with about 80%. Won't do anything for our drug problem, because that's a separate problem. But you have to ask yourself this question: what's going to happen if you don't do something different than what you're doing today? What's going to happen to our country down there? What's going to happen to beautiful Mexico? If it can't stop where this violence is going, it can only get worse. You've got to try something different. Countries where we've had the legalization or decriminalization of drugs, in Portugal, since 2001, their violence has gone down dramatically. There's still going to be corruption. I mean, that's just going to... But it's not going to be the violence and the killing and the beheadings, driving along a highway in Molares, and you drive up on the highway and there's people's heads laying on the center line of the highway. That has to stop. And the only way you're going to stop that is to change the policy. And what are the drug dealers going to do afterwards? Well, the only thing we have to go by on that is what happened to our drug dealers when we legalized alcohol? Some of them became politicians. You know, and I don't know, but the Arellano Felix gang, Benjamin Felix, said, the best thing you do is legalize drugs.
That's right. We'll be right back with Terry Nelson. Your calls, 800-313-9443.
Your money, what is it worth today? A $100 bill in 1913 is worth only $2 today. So now, your money is just about worthless, and the Fed will continue printing more and more of it. But what if you could turn it around, $1 at a time, and make your money worth more than it is now? How? By acquiring gold before your paper money is totally worthless. But how can you afford gold at today's prices? By buying it 1 gram at a time. And this is so important because gold is the future. For as little as $65, you can begin trading your almost worthless currency for something real, something you can hold. Carat bars, which keep their value, can be stored securely, and are easily accessible, just like a savings account, but a savings account backed by your gold. Carat Bars International, a savings account you can count on. For more information, please click on the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. Again, that's the Carat Bars banner ad at republicbroadcasting.org. And start saving now.
How important is the air you breathe? Our air purifiers produce activated oxygen, called Aerin. Activated oxygen is the natural enemy of odors, pollutants, and many other harmful substances, yet it's completely safe. Our powerful air purifiers unleash the power of a thunderstorm, destroying pollutants in the air we breathe. It destroys many viruses, bacteria, and fungi, kills molds, and oxidizes chemical fumes and toxic gases. It removes smoke, pollen, and pet odors. Made with quality stainless steel, our portable air purifiers come with a manufacturer's 4-year warranty. If you haven't experienced the Aerin process of fresh, clean air, then call us today and receive 10% off your order. 877-605-9200. Again, that's 877-605-9200. Time for you to breathe clearly again. 877-605-9200.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Order today at 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth. I'm gonna put on an iron shirt and chase Satan out of earth.
It's our final segment tonight with Terry Nelson from Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. And I did want to open up the phone lines to get your take on what you've heard thus far. 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. Terry, is it all right with you if we take a few phone calls?
Sure. No problem.
Let's talk to Bill in Idaho. Hello, Bill.
Oh, happy New Year. Bless you. Thank you
Same
so very
you.
Much. I wanted to ask both of you whether you've had an opportunity to review the archives on AIB Talk Show Radio Rod Class, in particular episode 7, 910. He's a private attorney general. He identifies in some of his archives, Senate Subcommittee hearing on American Activities 1950, the bulwark of the Communist Party, and the issue of the judges that are mandating and pushing these issues to the point of creating a whole entire class of criminals that then administratively can be dealt with and taken out of their very own country, their own construction. I highly recommend you both review and or have an opportunity to interview Rod Class.
All right. Thank you so much for that. Have you heard of this Rod Class guy he's talking about, Terry?
No, I have not.
Yeah, but, nor have I.
I mean, there's all sorts of theories out there of what's causing it.
Nothing serious about, you know, nothing
but
involving
the point
theory.
Of it is,
he's
it's
got
really a simple point. The cops, you take the king's coin, you do the king's business. It's not the cops' fault for enforcing the laws that they're out there. If we have issues with the laws, then we need to go to our city councils, our county commissioners, and our governors, and we need to get them to tell their policemen that's a lower priority. That's not what we want doing. But if you don't do that, the cops don't get to pick and choose which laws they want to enforce. Now, they can to a certain extent on how bad they choose, how hard they choose to enforce it. But it's an issue that needs to be dealt with by the people, and it's starting to be dealt with because of, I was in a jury selection a couple of weeks back, and the attorneys made it very clear, well, if you don't agree with, even if you don't agree with these sentences that they should be so harsh, could you still sentence this person to this? Now you're having people talk to juries about it because it's on the mainstream. And just, we need a 12-man jury, and they had to call 90-some-odd people just on a sentencing trial.
Wow.
It's the people are standing up and they're saying we've had enough of this, stop it. You know, 75% of the people think the drug war has failed. So government, get on board here. You know, quit leading from behind. Get up here and change these laws. Change the classification of cannabis from Schedule One. For crying out loud, everybody in the world knows it's not a Schedule One drug. So why be silly and leave it in that schedule, and create all these other problems? It's and we haven't seen the tip of the iceberg of the violence that we're seeing in America right today is a direct byproduct of the loss of respect by the police for enforcing unenforceable laws on a certain minority population of the public.
Talk to me a little bit about jury nullification and how you see that being a tool to combat these harsh and pretty much illogical.
Jury nullification, only know of two cases where it's been used. One of them, I think, was in South Dakota or someplace up in the northern Midwest, and they just turned the guy loose. But, you know, only two states that I'm aware of, I think it's two, the judge is charged with notifying the jury that they have the right to do this. Every jury does. They just are not told that by the judge. The jury controls that courtroom, but the judge and the lawyers don't want the jurors to know that. They're in charge. They can get what they want out of that court, and they can send someone home if they want to. But we're so conditioned, and if you've ever been in a jury, you know how hand-picked the juries are. No one, it's certainly not a trial by your peers. By the time they finally get to the final 12 people, they got 12 people that can spend 2 weeks there and
right,
don't have
that's the problem. Exactly. We actually are having somebody speak at a conference we're putting on called the Free Your Mind Conference in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. His name is Ed 4chan, and he goes by the New Jersey Weed Man. And he won his case utilizing jury nullification and making the jury aware of it as a tool. So he's going to be speaking, and I'm really looking forward to hearing how he utilized jury nullification.
That's great if you can get that door open to bring that in the courtroom. But if you've been in a court, it's very tightly scripted. You don't get to say what you want to say. You can only answer questions. Unless the other side opens a door that you can get that part in, the jury's never going to know about it. But
right.
Shame on them for not, you know, educating themselves to know that they are the most powerful unit in that courtroom.
Yeah, but I realize that it's a Band-Aid, but I still think it's interesting. So tell me a little bit more about what you offer as a solution to the mess we're in. Let's kind of end it on a solution-oriented note. Obviously, the solution is to rid of this prohibition. What's next?
Well, then we have to implement regulation and control, and it must be done smartly. And you can't overtax it because you're just going to create a gray or another black market. It has to be done smartly, and we need to tightly couple education with it. And we need to change. I'm talking about simple drug use is not drug abuse. So that's got to be stopped being reported as drug abuse. If you smoke a joint once a week, that's drug use, but it's not drug abuse. If you shoot up two times a day, yeah, that's probably going to be called drug abuse, and you need help. But you don't need help if you just smoke a couple of joints a week. Sorry, you don't need help. So don't even bother with that. But educate the population on how best to deal with the issues that they're going to have to be confronted with legalization. In other words, if pot is legal and cocaine is legal and heroin is legal, I don't think you're going to have any more addicts than you have today. You may have more using, but I don't think you'll have more addicts. But at least you won't be dying of drug overdoses because you will know what you're shooting or what you're dropping, what you're taking. So that's the regulation control side of it. And then it has to be monitored and watched very closely. I prefer a citizens committee or at least a half citizens committee along with elected officials doing that to where it's reasonable. What you do, it must be reasonable for it to take hold and to last, to have any legs. It's going to have to be reasonable. And we're already seeing a little bit of the fight against unreasonableness in the amount of taxation. 30-40% tax on cannabis is excessive. And people should know that right up front. Because, you know, then you're going to have the gray market. And I know how you can mark the plant and you can track the plant through the system, but you can't track the bud through the system. So it has to be reasonable, it has to be enforced fairly, and if it does, we can come out of this with a lot better country than we have today.
Well, Terry, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. They can check out Law Enforcement Against Prohibition at leap.cc. No. That's leap.cc. And we'll definitely have to do this another time. Thank you.
So stay safe, Bob. Have a good one.
All right, you too. All right, what do you got? Come here. Hold on. The little one has been trying to jump on tonight's radio show, and the war on drugs really does ruin the family structure. Come here, little Bob.
Come here. I want to talk to you.
No.
Come here. Come here.
All right, I want you to say hello, everyone. Can you say hello? Oh, now you're getting shy. You were talking up a storm. Can you tell me how old you are?
Two. My
two. You're two?
I'm two.
Yeah? Who's your favorite friend?
Name Julia.
Her name's Julia?
Name Julia.
Yeah? All right. Okay, buddy. Thanks for coming on the show. Let's try to take one more call here. Mike in Minnesota. Hello.
Hi, Bob. Thanks for taking my call so late. I was wondering, so if you ever try to run across a movie, it's called Drug Wars. It's based on a true story, DEA agent Kiki Camarena in stationed out of Mexico. And, I mean, this whole thing went all the way up to the Mexican presidency.
I'm sure I can find it on YouTube or Netflix or one of those.
Yeah, I have it on VHS, but I'm sure it could be probably found on DVD. But it's just unbelievable. I mean, watching that movie, and this was in the 80s. It took place in the 80s in the afternoon. I was down that area around that time when I hitchhiked cross country, and I ended up living in Key West. So, you know, I know what he's talking about, like the square groupers. And,
sure. There was a lot of going on. There's also another documentary called The Cocaine Cowboys, but that does it for us tonight. Tomorrow night we'll have The Truth Ninja. Don't go anywhere, folks. Clint Richardson coming up next.
This has been another edition of the Bob Tuscan Show. Activism in action. Now go plant some seeds.